teaching church members to fight. Sound good?
Some of them have it pretty natural, but I think we're talking about a different fight.
I was just talking about sheep having sharp teeth.
Exactly.
I was like, what do wolves and sheep have in common? They both bite.
They both bite. And Michael, are we ready to go?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, welcome back to Rescuing Churches, the official podcast of 614 Ministries. I'm Stan, the director of the ministry, and I'm joined with my friend Caleb Howell, who's pastor of Howell Baptist. He's also our church strategist on our team now. We've brought him in as a helper and a support for our ministry, so you can reach out to him through our webpage as well. And Pastor Victor Herman is pastor of First Baptist in Chickasaw, right around the corner from us. We all have churches really within 20 minutes, 30 minutes of here, and fellowship together. And we thought it'd be good to dialogue some church issues with you. And I love the topic of today, guys. We're going to teach our church members to fight. So this is how to actually have a real fight in a church rather than these little pretend ones that we have. I'm kidding. We really don't need to teach them to fight, do we? But I am under conviction. I actually taught this morning at our church. But I've been under conviction for a while as an older pastor, the oldest pastor in the room, oldest guy in the room. And I'm going to repent of it, and I'm going to challenge the pastors that are listening, especially the older ones that listen to this, and you younger guys. I'm going to repent of failing to equip the church to fight sin. It's just been a real challenge that I've seen recently. Now, part of that, the excuse I would make, which is not a good excuse, so it's not going to wash in heaven, but I can tell you the excuse I would make is that for years I pastored a church with a lot of people that supposedly had walked with the Lord a long time. Many of them were my teachers and Sunday school teachers as a kid. And so I'd walk with them a long time, and in my brain, they were all okay. And, I needed to know more about it than they did. So I didn't really address it. I talked a lot about sin. I identified sin in sermons. We talked about temptation. We talked about how the need to stop sinning and avoid sin. But actually how to fight sin. Paul uses very strong terminology that we are to fight sin. And in Romans 8, he actually says we need to destroy it, kill it, be killing sin. Jonathan Owen, the Puritan, says, you know, be killing sin or it will be killing you. And it's just a really important part of the ministry that we teach our church members to fight. And I think because the culture of my church changed several years ago to mostly young believers, most of the members of my church have been saved less than 5 years, and some less than two or one. So I'm watching a bunch of young new believers get knocked off their course. And I see them just kind of giving up and wallowing in that. Do you guys have any experiences like that? Or you kind of see the culture that we're in now? And in our current culture, people sort of give up anyway. We live in a give up culture if it gets hard. So I'm asking if you guys see anything like that. And then we're going to talk about some very specifics about that spiritual fight.
I was blessed by being raised 5 years of my middle school life, high school life, college life. I had a pastor by the name of Brother Don Boone. Mm-hmm. And Brother Don taught us how to fight sin. Mm. And that was during the time God was calling me in ministry. I can't say that I've taught it enough, mm-hmm. but I can say that I've taught it a lot. And I can say when you teach it, Satan fights you.
That's exactly what we've experienced here in so many ways. You're exactly right.
So I just want to get out there. Brother Don, I mean, he taught us about, of course, the difference between temptation and sin.
Right.
And how to fight Satan with the blood of Jesus Christ, right, on our lips.
We resist sin. Paul used the term resist James used to resist, and then we fight sin. And Peter says we need to resist the enemy. So we resist sin. We flee from temptation.
Flee from temptation.
But we resist sin. It literally is the picture of a Roman soldier putting his shoes on, putting his armor on, and leaning into the battle with somebody else. It's an offensive lineman leaning into a defensive lineman going, man, I'm going to resist you. You can't come through here. And that resistance, I think, is something I've failed to equip my people with well until recent days. I really, really felt like I wasn't preparing our people well for that. So,
in fact, I remember one Sunday in particular, Brother Don, only to my knowledge, only preached a sermon one time that was just completely about fighting sin. Normally, he just worked it into every sermon.
Wow.
But one Sunday, he preached on fighting sin. That was the purpose. Lights went out in service. The sound went crazy.
Wow.
One person started screaming and had to be taken out because something was wrong with them. Of course, that's Satan.
Right.
I mean, Satan can find a willing vessel.
Sure, and then distract the daylights out of the rest of the church.
Absolutely.
Right.
So,
By the way, guys, it's not going to be a Pentecostal church we're talking about. This has been a good old Baptist.
Good old Baptist church.
Right.
And we don't talk about it enough.
Yeah.
We don't understand it enough. And I just threw that out there to start podcast because before you get too deep in this, you got to realize when you start fighting, you are fighting.
Absolutely. And man, we painted some targets on ourselves here at Northside where I'm pastoring. We've really painted some targets on ourselves recently because we're taking on this spiritual warfare very serious for the year of this 2023. One of our goals is to equip ourselves to be better soldiers and to fight against sin, be stronger in our spiritual battles. And it ramped the enemy up. He built some new fortresses and some new walls and some new attacks upon us. Pastor Vic, what are you thinking as a younger pastor? You're engaged in your own personal spiritual life, fighting sin every day, just like I do. But it's a challenge to teach the people how to fight.
Well, commenting on what you just said about your congregation and how you guys have started all the sermon series on warfare and whatnot. A lot of that is recognizing. Probably set what 80% of that. You said that Satan's been ramping up, coming attacking even harder with you guys talking about it. But a lot of that is your people just recognizing more and more and more that they're in a fight. See, they were losing in those areas that they had no idea that they were fighting in.
That's right.
And now that they are recognizing it and realizing that the fight's real and that they've been in it this whole time, they've just been losing,
right,
is probably 80% of the battle.
Didn't know they were in the fight to begin with. That's the line. I quoted Nefarious, the movie Nefarious. I recommend that to you guys on the podcast. A pretty intense movie, Nefarious, came out in 2023. Mm-hmm. And it's a movie that's similar to how C.S. Lewis wrote the Screwtape Letters, which is a demon explaining their strategy.
Yeah.
This is a movie where a man who is demon-possessed in a prison and about to be executed is explaining to an atheist psychiatrist how demons work. Mm. And it's extremely good theology
for how
it's written. It's extremely good. But Nefarious actually says to the atheist psychiatrist at one point when the psychiatrist says, Nefarious says, ready for round two, because he just frustrated the daylights out of the psychiatrist and he lost his temper. And when he comes back, he's calm and he goes, you ready for round two? And he goes, well, I didn't know we were in a fight. He goes, and that's why you're losing.
That's it.
So if we don't recognize the fight, right? If we don't recognize the fight. So I want my people to really begin to see the need for that. And I believe the role of a pastor is to equip the saints. And I've taught the armor before, but I don't think I've taught the warfare side. It's almost like in my mind, just rolling this out, it's almost like I took the church family to the military armory, showed them the armor, showed them their weapons. Here's how this weapon works. Here's how this weapon works. Here's how this Kevlar vest works. Here's the leggings you need. Here's what you need. Good luck with that kind of deal. Rather than saying, hey, here's a battle strategy. here's an actual tactic that you need. Here's something you need to understand. We are in a fight. And if we don't learn to lock shields, if we don't learn to have a partner in warfare, that's my, you know, I got your back, you got my back. I'm your wingman, man. Nobody's going to mess with you as long as I'm here. If we don't create that level of, Paul's all about that in the New Testament, all about it. And if we don't get that going, our people are going to constantly be shot with these fiery darts and taken out. It's just an unhealthy deal. Jesus told his disciples, you're going to be hated, right? The world is going to push against you and hate you. But he also told us that there was an enemy out there whose design was to harm us, right? And a lot of times we say Satan's goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. And we take that out of John chapter 10. I know you guys know this. We take that out of John chapter 10, but Jesus didn't talk about Satan. He's talking about the puppets of Satan that are the Pharisees, which are the false teachers of the day. They are the wolves that came into the fold to steal, kill, and destroy. So as ministers, we've even got to be aware of that false teaching level that literally is trying, the enemy, capital E, Satan, is trying to steal away our people. We got to be able to fight that. And our people have to be learned enough and equipped enough in their scriptures to know how to fight that, the false teachers, and how to fight this temptation that's coming their way. There's both levels, right? Both levels. And I just think as pastors, we have to really be intentional with equipping our people in those worlds. Both of y'all know we just started a thing called Doulos University here, just a name we came up with to say Servant University. And I teach a class on Monday nights that's doctrinally driven. It's all doctrine. We're teaching the theology of the scriptures, bibliology, theology of Christ. Christology is what we're working on now. We did God, the theology of God, and we're going to do theology of man, theology of sin, theology of salvation, and the Holy Spirit. We're teaching our people so they can't be swept away by the winds of doctrine, right? Y'all know that I had a friend who I was informally discipling quit paying attention or listening to, we just quit texting with each other for a while. And when I found out what had happened is he read a meme on Facebook that said the Bible was full of errors. And so he quit even tracking with the Bible for a while because a friend of his said that. Well, the friend has no credibility. You know, obviously the article that was there wasn't the link you couldn't even pull up. But that meme was a wind of doctrine on Facebook, a wind of doctrine that pulled him away. And that's when I'd said, we have got to ground our people a little more in that, right? So we have to be able to fight that, but we have to talk about the armor. And then we also have to look at what it means to stand against Satan. And I just want you guys to maybe give me some thoughts or some ideas that you have seen in your own personal life of how you resist the enemy, and then how you teach your men, your discipling, how to resist the enemy, and how to take these fiery arrows. Everybody in your church that's growing in their faith is going to be tempted this week and is going to have some fiery arrows shot at them or past them. Everybody in their church is. And if I'm not equipping them to be ready for that, kind of like you were saying, then they're just going to lose the battle, man. They're down, you know? And you're like, oh, I can't have that happen. So what are some thoughts you guys have on that? Ways to help us as pastors learn to improve ourselves in that? And help our people stand.
First of all, a simple truth that we all know. We're all tempted in different ways. My weak point is different, most likely, than your weak point. Your weak point is most likely different than Vic's weak point. We all have different spiritual weaknesses where Satan knows where to attack us.
Right.
Satan knows our weak points. It's very important, I think, when I teach this, the first thing I teach new believers especially is learn your weak points.
Right.
Well, it doesn't take very long to learn your weak points. I mean, you know where you sin. You know where you sin.
Yeah.
You know whether you're a liar or a stealer or a user or whatever you are. You know that about yourself.
Well, Caleb, today at Northside, I taught on to be killing sin, what we were just talking about, that you have the spiritual responsibility to fight sin. And I opened the sermon with the question, What will you be tempted with before you go to bed tonight? Think about the sin. I put a list of sins from the scriptures on the screen, some of those grocery lists that Paul has and Proverbs has. I just put this giant list, and I said, I want you to figure out, what are you going to be tempted with before you go home today? What are you going to be tempted with before you go to bed? And if you can get that in your head, it's really the first step. It's a really good thing. And you don't see many Christians thinking about that. So
I tell people all the time, I've never drank alcohol. I've never been tempted to drink alcohol. Now, I said, there was one night, I'm a big Mississippi State fan, so there's been a lot of long nights in my life. There was one night on the way back, I was kind of sleepy, stopped at a gas station from a state football game, and I saw something in there that I didn't know what it was. I thought it was a soft drink, and I started picking it up, and I joked with my friends. I said, well, I probably really should drink it tonight. But alcohol's never been a thing with me. But there are other areas in my life where the wall is a sheet of paper laying on the ground.
That's the wall.
It's a sheet of paper on the ground. You know, identify that area and then get a Christian friend to help hold you accountable.
That's it. It's really good.
Get you a guard.
Yeah. Now, again, as pastors, we get that in this room, just sitting right here. We get that. Right. But are we intentionalized training our people in that? Are we equipping our people to say, you can't fight sin all by yourself, especially the ones that continue to whoop you, right? The sins that just beat you up over and over. If you're not confessing your faults and sins one to another, if you're not getting some people to hold you accountable, if you're not forsaking the assembling of yourselves, trying to figure out how to say that right. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. You're getting into a fellowship and you're staying there. Those elements say, now I'm actually seeking to overcome this sin, but now I need some battle strategy. I need some hard truth, literally memorizing scripture, right? You got to teach your people to memorize scripture about the specific sin they're sinning with. John 3:16, you know, is not going to help you if you're being tempted to lust or covet. It's just not, right? John 3:16 is a great verse, right? Jesus wept. Great verse to memorize. Real easy. We did it at camp all summer. Every time we did verses to get points at camp, all the kids, Jesus wept. Okay, good for you. Go get a better one.
And teaching believers how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And how to pray out loud. And how to pray where Satan flees.
Right.
Because Satan flees at the mention of the blood of Jesus Christ.
That's correct.
That's what has defeated Satan. And I'm not saying just say it.
Yeah.
Mean it.
Right.
Know it.
And I believe by faith. I believe in an intense spiritual battle. We have to teach our people to say it out loud. It's not just an intellectual thought.
Correct.
That I'm saved by the blood of Christ, or I'm under the blood of Christ. Satan, you have no authority here. I think there are times when the temptation is intense enough, it needs to be out loud. Those are some really, really good points. Paul talks about standing five times in that text in Ephesians 6 with the armor. He makes it crystal clear that we need to stand. Just stand. And I find, and Victor, you work with a lot of the same guys I work with in our mix of our two ministries. We have a lot of guys that are just fresh out of recovery ministry, going through a lot of stuff in their own personal life. But I find they fall. They get shot one time. Even a grazing glance of a fiery dart, and that wound to them, they're just gone. They're out, right? And that discourages me because I'm like, man, we got to stand against this, right? You stand against the enemy. You don't let him have that little cheap shot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's literally a fighting technique, right?
Right.
Try to teach him a little street fighting. Hey, if you lay down on the ground, you're never going to be the winner. And you're going to be bullied the rest of your life.
Well, let me tell you one thing that we're missing in this, and I can, you know what's real easy for me to stay away from? People that I hate.
Mm-hmm.
Things that I hate. It's extremely easy for me to stay away from anything that I hate. God has given us that hatred, and hatred is not a bad thing if it's aimed at the right thing, right? Or the wrong thing, however.
Right, you want to like that. Yeah.
So, Bible says, be angry, sin not. You see, you got anger and you got sin in that one sentence right there.
Right.
Okay. It is perfectly fine to be angry with the very thing that has been whooping you to death.
Yeah.
See, like my one-on-one, as far as explaining someone how to fight, my one-on-one is I'm on the one-on-one. Now, I haven't been teaching in a mass setting, but we are going verse by verse through Ephesians.
You're getting there.
We've just got to, just got to chapter 4. I'm trying my hardest to get through those first three verses. We have about six messages on those three verses.
That's good, though. Take your time, man. So no hurry.
Maybe one more. Hopefully, I'll try to get it in one. But once we get to the armor, we're going to be hanging around there for a while, too. Mm. So I might be in there for another, 10 months. But my one-on-one, I literally this morning in the office at the church was telling a man. There's a man who's come to faith in Christ at our church. He's literally like, I'm so thankful that I met y'all. Thank God. He is, and it may be nothing to us, but he's fighting nicotine.
Mm-hmm.
Right now. And he's like 9 days clean.
Got a room full of.
He's 9 days clean.
Yeah.
Okay. And he said, man, those first 3 days, he said, man, I wanted to fight a tree.
Yeah.
And my words were, you got to make war.
Mm-hmm.
I said, it's ugly. It's not pretty. And you got to do whatever it takes to get to it.
Right.
Number one, I tell a person, look, the sin's been beating you over the head, whooping you. You got to, number one, realize that you're weak in that area. And you also got to remember who God is.
Right.
God is a God who loves to rescue. He loves rescue. Right. He's a God. He's known for this. Yeah.
In your weakness, he's the strength.
If you confess you're weak and you realize truly how weak you are and stop trying to do it in your own strength, stop trying to do it with patches and all of that, and then you close your eyes and say, God, I'm weak, and you call on him and keep calling on him to rescue you, that he's faithful and he's just and he will come and rescue you. But from every single pit that you throw yourself in, he will come and rescue you. That's how good he is. But then at some point in time, if you've been rescued 30, 40, 100 times, whatever, you're going to have to start looking at this thing that you keep throwing yourself back into, like a dog returns to his own vomit. Mm. You have got to start looking at it and say, no, that's vomit.
Right. Right.
And you know what? I hate vomit.
Yep.
I don't want to eat it anymore. I don't want to live this way anymore. Mm. And you have got to take your God-given hatred and you've got to start aiming it at that thing that you keep having to get rescued from.
Proverbs says God hates sin, and we need to learn to, because hate. We love God, we hate sin.
With a righteous indignation.
Yeah.
Fiery. A white-hot flame of hatred towards the very thing that is, number one, offense towards God, but number two, it's hurting you.
Yeah, and all your friends. It's not just hurting you, but it's hurting all your friends.
And it's really hating the God-given glory that God's placed on your life for himself. It's like his fame. You are supposed to be living for his fame. You are supposed to be spreading his name and his gospel and his salvation. Wherever you're at in your life, wherever. So by you smoking cigarettes, trying to tell somebody, and I say this all the time, and I'm not trying to be that guy. Look, I know Spurgeon smoked cigars, drank a glass of whiskey every night. I ain't talking about that.
Yeah, all right.
Okay?
Different culture.
I'm just saying, I have my own opinions about the gray areas. But it's all about what it boils down to is the glory of God.
Yeah.
Now, you smoking a cigarette, trying to tell someone about Jesus, is that person going to look at you and say, hey, why are you trying to tell me?
You surrendered your whole life to him?
So you're telling me that I can be set free by Jesus, but you're not set free.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How much validation does that in someone's life? So that's what got me off of dipping snuff.
Yeah.
I surrendered my life to the Lord. I've been walking with the Lord for about a year. I was not yet convicted over the snuff, but then when the Spirit of God began to convict me, someone actually came up and told me, he's like, I'm not harking on you. He's like, I believe you're saved.
Mm.
You're dipping snuff. He said, but you have started talking a lot about Jesus, and you've been starting to tell people a lot about Jesus. Well, now that's different. You're now identifying with the name.
The Holy One.
Of Jesus.
Yeah.
You've now put that ambassador name tag on, and you're claiming to speak for him.
Mm.
So, and to speak about him.
Yeah.
So that makes all the world of difference now. So, anyways, to the point though, you must hate the very things that God hates.
Mm.
Or else, guess what? you'll always love it.
That's right.
There's only two things going on inside your mind and your heart, love and hate. Yeah. You're either going to love your sin or you're going to hate your sin. There's no in-between.
Mm. Boy, that's good. It's good. So one of the things that I – and we'll finish this out with this. One of the things that I found necessary to teach our church, especially in the culture that we live in today where people give up when something gets hard, is that spiritual warfare is actually going to be hard and – you will win as long as you get back up. I used the analogy today, Captain America, Marcus Luttrell, and William Wilberforce, three examples. And at some point we'll post that on our, it's on our Facebook page at Northside, Northside Bible Church, but it'll be on our podcast as well with northsidemobile.org eventually, when my silent partner Mike can get to those, who has a million other jobs to do. But one of the challenges for us is to learn. Captain America has a line in every one of his movies. I know he's not real, by the way. I had to tell my church, but I know he's not a real guy. But but the character Captain America says every time, I can do this all day. And it's when he's in a fight and he gets knocked down and he dusts himself back off, wipes blood from his lip, stands back up, puts his fist back up and goes, I can do this all day. That is a spiritual warrior of the Old and New Testament. When you read the men of the Old and New Testament, that's how they survived spiritual warfare. They didn't stand on their feet the whole time. They were knocked down numerous times and they just got right back up and said, I can do this all day. Right. And Marcus Luttrell, the lone survivor, when you watch that movie, if you'll look him up on some YouTubes, there's some great speeches. One of them's only like 6.5 minutes long that he gives where he just explains we were in this horrible firefight for Navy SEALs trapped behind enemy lines in Afghanistan, surrounded by 3,000 Taliban. Bomb goes off, blows us up. We tumble down this mountainside, broke my back, broke my hip, sat up. That's when they hit us. He says, that's when they hit us with more mortars and more rockets. And I said, now it's time to go to work. I was like, I would have went, now it's time to cry, right? Now it's time to quit, like surrender. He's like, no, I'm a Navy SEAL, man. They're shooting at us with bigger stuff now. Now we got to go to work. I'm all beat up. Going to get back up and go back. He's literally Captain America saying, I can do this all day, right? And you read his story. I mean, he ended up with 13 bullet wounds, you know, eventually rescued from a village where the Taliban kept trying to overrun. But he's eventually rescued by the Army Rangers from a village. And when they get to him, he's got 13 bullet wounds, you know. Roy Benavides, great. Roy Benavides was a Green Beret, original Navy SEAL guys, Green Beret from the Marines. He had 38 bullet wounds when he finished his mission to rescue 12 guys from a helipad that was being blown up. 38 bullet wounds in him. And he was holding his intestines into his stomach while he got the last guy back on the helicopter. And I'm saying to our guys at church, and I'm saying to my church family, I'm saying to my church family, you know, we got to at least toughen up a little bit so that one fiery dart that whizzes by our head can't put us down.
That guy live?
He lived. I'll send you his stuff, man. It's an incredible story.
38 holes?
38 bullet wounds. Hey, his jaw was locked. I mean, they put him in a bag and was zipping him up. Thought he was dead. And he was still breathing. He finally spit in the face of the doctor to get his attention. And the doctor goes, I think he'll be all right. But it's all of those stories, and I've got bunches of them I've been studying. I've been studying this. All of those stories say you don't give up. When you're wounded as a soldier in a battle, you don't give up. You finish the mission. That's what Roy Benavides did. That's what Marcus Luttrell did. We finished the mission. We complete what God sent us to do. Now, is our mission a little more important than Roy Benavides? He was saving physical lives of his friends who were trapped in Vietnam, right? But do you think saving souls is a little more important so we got to get up off the ground and go? Do you think Job was the example for us, right? Job is down for the count, man. Satan has just whooped him. And what does he do? Though he slay. First thing he does is shaves his head and worships the Lord, right? And it's literally Captain America moment where he goes, I can do this all day, right? Then he gets physically attacked by the enemy. And he says, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. I can do this all day, right? You just see Job going, come on. You know, now he's frustrated with God. He's wrestling with what's all happening. By the time you get to the end of the book, he says, who am I to question the counsel of God? The things that have happened to me are too wonderful for me to understand. I can do this all day, right? The Apostle Paul in the Philippian jail, right? He's like, whether I live or die, you know, Christ gets glorified. Doesn't matter whether I live or die.
Yeah.
Right? Jesus Christ in the temptation in the wilderness. Satan tempts him. He quotes scripture back to him, defeats the enemy. I can do this all day. Come on.
Yeah.
Got another one? Come on. Give me another temptation. I got more verses than you got, buddy. Right? Jesus is literally dealing with his temptation with scripture, led by the Spirit. Then he ends up being rejected by all the religious leaders. He, you know, his own people turn their back on him. All that goes to the cross, goes in the grave, and comes back out and says, I can do this all day, right? He's the model for us to say, all you got to do is get back up one more time, you get knocked down. That's how you win a fight. I was taught that street fighting years ago with a bunch of guys who used to street fight that I was trying to help, you know? Why do y'all do this? Well, just learning to be strong and brave and courageous. Well, how do you win? Just get back up one more time, you're knocked down. I'm like, that's a tough road.
Yeah.
Right? But it really is spiritually the right way for us. And I think I've been challenged that I have not taught my church family to fight hard, to take it as serious. Jesus says, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. That's like fighting sin, man. You seriously fight some sin. If your hand offends you, cut it off. So there's an intensity of warfare, I think, tied to scriptures that we as pastors have to drive home to our folks. That makes sense?
Makes a lot of sense.
You had some thought in that, Vic?
No, just a closing thought. At the end of the day, though, you know, we just trust God with them. Because number one, for sure, if they're a real Christian, can a real Christian sin?
Yep. Oh, absolutely.
Can they fall down and wallow in it? Yep.
Absolutely.
But at the end of the day, there's no way that a real Christian can live a lifelong returning back to the slop.
Right.
After they've already come to the master's table, they've eaten, they've seen.
Spirit will convict them.
They've seen exactly what their lives could be like. God's already given them a vision and they're going completely backwards, opposite.
Amen. Against
it. You can only live so long in that, surely.
Amen. Amen.
We're allowing, by not teaching this and not practicing this, we're allowing Satan to whip us so bad that even the mainstream media is paying attention to how many pastors are quitting.
Sure, sure.
Fox News, CNN, USA Today, they've all had the articles.
Oh, yeah.
And they're talking about church attendance, especially post-COVID.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can put lots of labels on it. But we're allowing sin to overcome us because we're not fighting it.
Right.
A lot of pastors out there are talking about quitting today.
Oh, yeah. It's a big, big challenge. Yeah.
They're not fighting sin.
42% of pastors under the age of 43 want to quit.
I thought about it 10 times last week.
Yeah. I thought about it a couple of times last week myself, and I've been at this a long time. It was a hard week.
Yeah.
A really hard week. So, guys, we're for you. We believe with all our heart that your ministry and your calling as a pastor, as a lay minister in your church can be really healthy and strong, and we want to support you. We don't want any of you guys to quit. Definitely, if you're thinking about giving up or quitting in ministry, give us a call and let's at least talk you through some of that and see how we can help you. And if your church is going through a hard time or is struggling, we'd be happy to come and counsel with you and visit with you and encourage you. So you guys be blessed. Thanks for listening to us. 614ministries.org is a great place to go see more about us and learn more about us and our team. And we appreciate all you do to pray for us and ask you to continue to fight the good fight of faith, as Paul says.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Rescuing Churches. You can help us if you'll hit the like, share, and download icons for our podcast. We at 614 Ministries are committed to helping small churches thrive, and we believe small churches are the hope of the communities all over the world. So we would be glad to partner with you, pray with you, visit with you, and or your church family. And here's the best part. We have no fees. It's all free. We just want to help you the best way we can. So learn about us at 614ministries.org, or you can email me personally at stan@614ministries.org. Till the next time, keep shepherding your flock well and guard your flock that Jesus purchased with his own blood.